everyone. Welcome to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. I'm your host, Erica Capobianco. I'm the Student Communications Director of Marist Fashion's 35th Annual Silver Needle Runway. But trust me when I say we're so much more than just a fashion show. We understand that from an outsider's perspective, fashion is oftentimes seen as superficial. But with the help of some very special industry professional guests, we're delving into a whole new side of fashion you've never seen before. And we can't wait to share it with you. Welcome back to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. We're back again on Thursday with a bonus episode as a part of this week's Countdown to the Runway. Both episodes this week are about the future of fashion shows and content presentation, so it only made sense to add in an extra More Than Fashion podcast episode to your week. And I can promise you that today's conversation with Jody Goodfellow, the founder of Startup Fashion Week and the co-founder of Fash PR, will get you even more excited for the 35th annual Silver Needle Runway that is set to take place in person and online this Saturday, May 22nd. But with all of that said, Jody is, like I mentioned, the founder and executive producer of Startup Fashion Week, the world's only multi-city fashion week that runs in Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto. They showcase a number of emerging designers while also involving emerging models, photographers, and helping other creatives really break into the industry. When I first heard about Jody and Startup Fashion Week, I just so resonated with her message and her passion to uplift the next generation of fashion leaders because it so parallels with everything that we do here at Silver Needle Runway. And as you'll hear in this conversation, Jody and I definitely bond over what it's really like to produce a full-scale fashion show. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. And we definitely talk about her background as an educator and how that really played a large part as to why she wanted to create this mentor approach to both Startup Fashion Week and her boutique fashion PR firm, Fash PR. Later, we talk about how she is the host and co-host of two podcasts with her two companies and just talking about the power of podcasts. There are just so many incredible moments and takeaways from this conversation. It definitely hyped me up even more for the day of show, and I hope it will for all of you listening. So let's get into the conversation. Jody, thank you so much for being on today's episode of More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Absolutely. And I'd really love to kick off our conversation with our intro segment that I like to call Illusion versus Reality. So I'm going to give you a generalization about fashion shows and fashion PR, and you're going to tell me whether or not it's an illusion, so something false or not entirely true, or a reality, meaning something that you find to be true and that you've personally experienced. So have fun with your answers, elaborate on whatever you'd like. And with that said, are you ready to get started?
All right, let's get started.
Perfect. So the first one I have for you, getting right into it, is you have to have a fashion background in order to pursue a career in fashion.
That is absolutely an illusion. I think that a lot of people come into the fashion industry from different backgrounds and experiences. I'm a complete example of that because I actually have really no formal training or experience in fashion. I actually have a degree in education and visual arts. And I kind of stumbled across the fashion industry just by chance. And with all of the people that I work with in the industry, all the different types of creatives, it seems like it's actually very much a common thread where that kind of happens. It seems to be a passion that a lot of people have, and they pursue it sometimes later into their careers, and sometimes they do a bit of a career shift in order to pursue their actual real passion. So I would say that's an absolute illusion.
Definitely. And I can say personally that we've seen so many guests on this podcast that would have never anticipated that their career would have led them into working in fashion and that it would play such a large role in their lives. And a few people A few people actually, you know, said that they were always passionate about fashion, but they didn't study it. And while they were in school, so they didn't really have the training, but it was really their passion that led them to the successes that they had today. So sort of speaking to the ins and outs of the industry, the next one I have for you is, it takes a community to run a business in the fashion industry.
I would say that is 100% reality. And I say that because fashion isn't about just one thing. It's not just about one aspect. Even if you are a business owner or if you are a designer, you do need to rely on other resources and people in order to make your business actually flourish. Like, there's a lot that goes into the production side of fashion in terms of like the actual design and manufacturing. You know, there's a lot of people that need to be consulted with the type of collection you're coming out with. I know a lot of designers, they consult with sewers, they consult with pattern makers, et cetera, et cetera. And then once you get the collection made, and you have it in your hands, then you actually have to promote it. And that's where a lot of designers or business owners, they use very strategic marketing. And sometimes they also have like e-commerce websites, and you have to promote all of your different designs. And so of course you have to rely on models, makeup artists, hairstylists, photographers, videographers. So it really is a community of creatives. And it certainly does take a community to really build a business and to really help that business grow and develop and be sustainable.
1000%. There's really no job in fashion that you'll ever really enter that you won't have to work cross-functionally with, as you mentioned, like designers having to work with a production team and making sure that the orders are being delivered to the stores on time. And I think that also just because of the demands of the industry, that also just having that support system is incredibly crucial. Speaking specifically to the production of Silver Needle Runway, it really does take a community to put on this show. We have
most definitely.
We have people who work on the creative vision and working on the runway. And then we have my team who works on the communications aspect, the promotional, as we were kind of just talking about. We have a production team that works with the models and the garments. We have a branding team that kind of just keeps that cohesive vision. And on top of that, we have the designers we work with, the faculty at our school, all the departments in our school that really help us have the shows on campus, which is such a huge part of it and how we make it into the annual success that it is. But on a similar note, and having a support system, the next one I have for you is, it's not important to support small and startup businesses when you have a large platform.
Oh, that's such an illusion. And I really wish there was more attention being paid to this in particular. And I think that is starting to happen. I've seen some really great brands and really established designers take some startups under their wing. And I think it's really important to do so. Because I think that even once you feel that you've become established, you still always encounter new challenges and new hurdles, and you have to stay on top of, you know, new trends and things like that. And sometimes when you do mentor people who are just starting out in the business as an established, you know, business owner, you learn from them as well. So it's just as much of a give and take as anything else. So I think it really is important to establish relationships with people at all different, you know, levels of experience. I'd like to see more, you know, bigger brands also support startup businesses as well. It's very difficult. And, you know, there's not as many opportunities for sure for smaller businesses. And a lot of that has to do with smaller budgets, of course, but it doesn't mean to say that they aren't capable of doing, you know, extremely amazing things. So I think it's about taking risk and taking chances and, you know, being open to, you know, supporting smaller businesses to help them grow.
That's so incredibly true and so well said. I feel like in this last year with the pandemic, we've seen this really heavy, you know, focus on people wanting to support small and wanting to support local, because, you know, these are the businesses that are struggling the most. But I'm definitely going to talk more about your startups, but I kind of want to sort of go back to our first illusion versus reality question, because sure. You mentioned that you didn't have the traditional entry into the fashion industry. So I'd love to kind of hear how your education, your education background in teaching visual arts helped play a role at Startup Fashion Week. And if you wouldn't mind giving our listeners a bit more of an introduction of what Startup Fashion Week is.
Absolutely. So my background is in education. I've been a high school teacher actually for 21 years. And I teach art and I teach co-op. I've taught a lot of different subjects. And my introduction into the world of fashion actually came about 14 years ago, roughly. And I had an idea for a business, and it was called Fashion Forward. I decided to launch the business, even though I had absolutely no experience in business, fashion, or technology, but it was a fashion tech business. And I decided to just go with it. And the business was actually, it was actually exactly the same as Poshmark. I'm sure you guys have heard of Poshmark.
Absolutely.
It was So I was, you know, I love shopping. I love fashion. I love changing up my wardrobe every season. And, you know, sometimes you end up with beautiful things that you don't really wear a whole lot. And so I realized that there was a bit of a problem in terms of, you know, what to do with all these amazing pieces that still had a lot of life left in them. And so I decided to create a platform called Fashion Forward, where you can resell your belongings and sell them to a fashion enthusiastic audience. So that's kind of how I got started into the industry. And as I was pushing that business, and I was doing that at the same time as teaching. So I was working, two full-time jobs. It was really crazy. And I did that for a couple of years. I really pushed as hard as I could to get that startup off the ground. I was part of an incubator program here in Toronto. I was trying to raise funds to get investment, but I realized very quickly that without investment, a business like that can't move forward. And I launched my business at the same time Poshmark launched theirs. And they always say that, whenever you're working on something, there's at least three other people in the world working on the same idea somewhere. So it's always a race to market in a way. And because they had funding and they had experience with other successful startups, they certainly jumped ahead. And without funding, I wasn't able to do as much as I'd like to. And after a couple of years of really trying hard, I had come to a crossroads. And I realized that I wasn't able to really grow and develop that business as much as I wanted. So I decided to create Startup Fashion Week, a platform that would help amazing businesses that had a lot of great potential, but just didn't have the opportunity. They didn't have the funding. They didn't have the PR connections, and maybe just needed a little bit of help and mentorship. And so that's what led to me creating Startup Fashion Week. But my background in teaching also definitely played a role in that because, you know, like I say, I took a risk. I started that first business without any experience at all. But I did start it because, you know, I was passionate about it, but also, you know, I had a lot of transferable skills as a teacher. And those skills have also transferred over into my role as a Fashion Week producer. Being a teacher, you really have to be able to build communities. You have to be a good mentor. You have to be really good at planning. So a lot of those skills definitely transferred over. You have to be good at public speaking, all those things. And so it actually just worked really well. And so I, again, took another risk of launching a fashion week and, entering the fashion world here in Toronto by starting a fashion week. you know, and no one really knows who you are kind of turns a lot of heads, that's for sure. And you certainly don't get a lot of support right at the beginning, because you have to prove yourself, of course. So it wasn't the easiest start, that's for sure. But it certainly has been a great experience, and I've learned a lot. And I've also gained a lot of support from the city and from the community that I have built organically. It's been a great experience.
That's such a fascinating, you know, origin story. And I think that there's really something to be said about just how, you know, seamless these two startups, first with Fashion Forward and then with Startup Fashion Week, in how you wanted to create a mentorship. You wanted to have that support that you felt like maybe you didn't have in your first startup. Exactly. And I think that definitely probably comes from just the teacher within you and exactly. and wanting to build that community. That's super fascinating. And I think that our listeners would just be so interested to hear that, you know, Startup Fashion Week is the world's only multi-city fashion show that, as you mentioned, takes place in Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. So I'd love to kind of hear more about the inspiration in creating Startup Fashion Week and how community was such a huge part in sort of, you know, creating this fashion week.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, when I was, like I say, when I was building my first startup, Fashion Forward, I was really involved in the tech industry, the tech startup industry here in Toronto, as well as the fashion industry. And I quickly realized how different they were. When you go to events in the fashion industry, at least here in Toronto, I was going to a lot of events on my own. And, you know, I felt very uncomfortable and very awkward because a lot of people there at these events were not very friendly, I wouldn't say. You know, they were looking at their phones, they would stare at their phones. And even if they were on their own, they just made no effort to interact whatsoever. So it was a very cold atmosphere and very cold community. I also found that, you know, when trying to ask questions or find out information about the fashion industry, I just found that it was so fragmented and no one was willing to share resources or, you know, disclose information. Whereas, you know, in the tech industry, it was the absolute opposite. I just found that people in the tech startup scene were so resourceful and willing to share and willing to build communities. And it was so very organic. And I really, really loved that aspect to it. So when I was launching Startup Fashion Week, I wanted to make sure that I was changing and disrupting the way that the fashion community interacted and engaged. And I wanted them to be more like the tech startup community, where people were actually talking and making new connections and helping one another and realizing how powerful it is to actually work together as opposed to working separately in silos, you know. And to me, that was really one of the most important aspects of building Startup Fashion Week, you know. I created this fashion week, not just for me, it's not an ego project at all. And I find that's where a lot of the problems are in the fashion industry, is sometimes they are a little too much about ego. But for me, it was more authentic and more authentically about helping other people and inspiring other people to do the same.
And I think that that's something that we really embrace here at Silver Needle Runway, is creating a community, because I do agree. There's so much of the industry that is very, you know, in like hushed tones and very like, you know, behind closed doors. And we really believe in that, you know, community and helping to uplift the next generation of fashion leaders, whether you're a designer, whether you're a fashion show producer or, you know, a PR person. It's all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, with our social media as well, we really want to reach other people who, you know, are just so infatuated by fashion and are so passionate about it. And to really know that, like, here's our experience, like, watch us build this entire student run production. And I think just transparency is just such, such a big thing that's, it's just missing from the industry. So that's interesting. That's just interesting that you were saying about how tech really has that and fashion doesn't, and how you really wanted to fill that gap and kind of mimic the two. Absolutely. So I think it's just so incredible to see how much Startup Fashion Week is really, again, creating this platform for these emerging designers and being so experimental and adaptive, especially with this last year with the pandemic and pivoting to a virtual format. And Jody, I think that you have such a, you know, grasp and a handle on the future of fashion shows, and we're all about revolutionizing the runway here at SNR. So as a fellow fashion show producer to another, I can only imagine how much work goes into running Startup Fashion Week. Can you walk us
year? I mean, it's a lot of work, you know, and like I say, luckily a lot of it came to me organically to produce a fashion week, because I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of people here in Toronto that, you know, have clout in the industry, who have tried to launch their own events and they've failed significantly, you know, and it's not easy. People just think that, oh, okay, you know, I know some people, and if I know some people, I can throw something together. It's not as simple as that. You know, you have to really understand all aspects of the production, you know, from ticket sales and marketing and building partnerships and, you know, sponsorship acquisition, and understanding how to deliver, you know, what sponsors are looking for, and making sure everyone feels valued. And I think that's a big missing part, is that a lot of these Fashion Week productions get so big that they lose connection with all the people involved, and people just don't feel valued. You know, I would go to other fashion events here in the city, and volunteers, for example, would be expected to work long hours and get no breaks. They wouldn't get fed, nothing, you know? And so for me, I guess, again, that's the teacher side of me, is, you know, like, I even make sure that all my volunteers feel extremely valued. I give them, you know, even if it comes down to just giving them like a $10 stipend to help cover their transportation costs and making sure that they get fed and things like that, you know, I'm always making sure I know them on a first name basis. Like, those things really matter to people. And that's what essentially it comes down to when you want to build a community that's authentically supporting each other, is it starts with the leadership, you know, and if the leader isn't actually putting themselves, you know, out there to actually get to know every single person involved and making them feel valued, they're not going to want to come back. They're not going to want to support, and they're certainly not going to promote it. You know, so I think that's a really big part of it as well.
Definitely. And would you kind of mind maybe walking us through what a typical day looks like for you running Startup Fashion Week?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really depends on what stage in the process it is. On a typical day, I mean, every day is different. I can tell you, like, on the day of one of my events, you know, to be perfectly honest, I usually teach during the day, and then I have my events in the evening, which I know is even crazier to a lot of people.
Wow.
But it's because I have such a great team and we work so well together that I know I can trust them and rely on them. For me, during Startup Fashion Week, or the day of the runway show, let's do that. I go to the venue, my team is there. Usually my team is there probably about a half hour before I get there. And in the morning, I'm usually like organizing everything in my condo because it's an absolute disaster. That's also another thing, is unfortunately, as a producer, my living space gets completely taken over in the months and weeks leading up to an event, because I have so much stuff that is there for the events, like things for swag bags and all kinds of stuff, you know? So I have to organize everything that's needed in advance in my condo and bring it down to my car, my van. I have to organize logistics for delivery, and I get to the venue. My team is there. I have the hair and makeup team that's already there doing models, probably starting at about noon. And, you know, I have volunteers helping set up the runway and the chairs, the seating. I have to have pre-printed out all the names for the front row so that I can establish, you know, the seating arrangement. I do all those things, you know. I'm also texting back and forth, like making sure things are looking okay in terms of media guests and making sure that they have confirmed to come. You know, it's just, it's so, it's so crazy and hectic. And then you've got people that are trying to contact you at the last minute to get, you know, last minute entrance or tickets, even though the show has sold out 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, you get bombarded. And sometimes it's hard to manage, you know, what to do and prioritize what to do first. You know, then I have to do a run through of the audio visuals as well, make sure to do a sound check, do a visual check, do a lighting check, all that stuff. And I do that usually with my photographers. And, you know, and then I have to do checks backstage and make sure that all the designers have, you know exactly what order their models are going to go. We do a walkthrough. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. But there's a lot of adrenaline going. And I think that's what keeps everybody going through the day. And time flies. It really does. But it's exciting. It's very exciting and very rewarding at the end.
Well, Jody, I'm so happy that you said all of that, because for our listeners, that's basically how we run day of show for Silver Needle Runway. I will say, though, I have six fellow directors who split up all of those responsibilities. So I would be the person who's handling the ticketing and the media and finalizing the seating arrangement. And then I have people backstage. So I mean, major kudos to you that you do it, that you're, you know, leading all of that by yourself, because I know day of show is always so, so hectic, and there's always slip ups. There's always last minute changes on top of it all that you can, and you can't even always anticipate it or prepare for it, but
no, you can't, but you, as a leader, that's my, another thing that I learned in the very first year that I launched Startup Fashion Week. I remember the moment I walked into the runway space, and I was at work all day teaching, and I came at about 4 o'clock, and it really just kind of hit me. Like, it was so busy with people doing, like, setting up lighting and all that. And I just had that moment of realization going, oh my, I can't believe, like, I created this, like, I did this. And I kind of just froze for a minute, and I had, everybody was asking me questions, you know, like, because everybody comes to you, you're the decision maker, you're the problem solver. And I remember at one point, someone said to me, how are you so calm? And I'm just a very calm person by nature. But I said, my response to them was, you know, as a leader, you have to be calm, because if you're not, then that's going to stress everyone else out. It's going to create a domino effect, you know, in terms of like how people perceive you and, you know, the amount of stress they're experiencing. So that's another thing to consider, you know, when you're running these events, they are very stressful, but you have to remain calm, and you have to be able to make really good decisions, you know, at, you know, any given moment and problem solve. And you have to do it spontaneously, you know, with grace as well, because you're in the spotlight. So, so that's also really important to know, if, you know, for those of your listeners who might be interested in pursuing production and that sort of thing, if you're not a calm person, if you're not someone who does well under pressure and under stress, it's maybe not a good idea.
Oh, definitely not. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that about like leadership, because so much of it, you know, you think in some people's minds, I guess, I mean, I totally do not agree with this, but some people would think that, you know, a leader needs to be barking orders and being like very, very stressed, but no, like that's not going to make your team feel confident in what they're doing. And it definitely has this like trickle down effect. And I love what you said about, you know, your first time when you were kind of just seeing everything around you at your first fashion week, because I can totally relate to my first experience when I was first in involved with the Silver Needle Runway. I was a sophomore, and I remember being at the venue and finally seeing the lights were all set up and they were playing the runway music during our run through and the screens were up, and just feeling like so overwhelmed that like, wow, it like, is. You know, I was a part of this incredible thing. And I think that it's those moments where you realize that it's all worth it.
100%.
I'd love to kind of talk about, again, if you can recall another experience, because, you know, as we know, running events and managing events, there's always the most bizarre things that you'll sometimes run into that you would have never anticipated that you would ever do. So can you tell our listeners a moment that you had at any of the Startup Fashion Week experiences in the past that made you think, I would have never guessed that I would be doing this while producing a fashion show?
Well, okay. So as you know, I produce Startup Fashion Week in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and every city is very different. But what I have to say is Toronto is very extra. Okay. And people in Toronto are very extra. And it's amazing. I have to go to extremes when it comes to security for our events here in Toronto. Because typically and traditionally fashion weeks here in Toronto, you don't typically have to buy tickets necessarily. People kind of figured it out earlier on that at Toronto Fashion Week, for example, as long as you know the PR person managing that designer, or if you know the designer, you just ask them for tickets, they give them to you because they have way too many seats they need to fill. And that's kind of what really kind of brought down the reputation, I think, a little bit of some of those fashion weeks, is they were filling the seats with anyone, you know, anyone willing to go. And with my fashion week, it's based on sales. Like I don't give away tickets. I don't give away seats. I reserve a couple just for media and that's it. And so people are, once they sell out and people get desperate because you know how everyone is in the industry. They always leave everything to the last minute. And so people get frantic when they realize that it sold out. So I always have to buckle down with security here in Toronto. We've had some really crazy incidents. One in particular, at our last show in 2019, we actually discovered that there was a girl who walked in and she presented herself as a model. This was during the day when everyone was getting ready. She presented herself as a model. She went and got her hair and makeup done. And then someone discovered her sitting in a closet hours later. And she was sitting in a closet and security came to find me and they said, you're never going to believe what happened. They found this lady sitting in a closet hiding. So she literally just came in off the street and her dream was always to be in a fashion show. And so she literally was an imposter trying to just basically like break into our show. And her intent was to actually walk out on the runway during the show. But luckily we found her. And so we unfortunately had to escort her out. And luckily we found her before the show started, but it was quite something. We also had another experience here in Toronto where a woman came just after everyone had gotten seated, and she came in with an entourage, her own personal photographer and, two other people, like security guards. And she came in and my team, you know, stopped her asking for her ticket. And she said, oh, I don't have it. It must be at my hotel room. I must have left it. I'm here from out of town and all this stuff. And so they said, well, unfortunately, without a ticket, you can't get in. You need to have a ticket. And then she started changing her story. And she said that she's just on the list and her PR person put her on the list. And my team said, that's not how we do it. Unfortunately, that's not how, if you don't have a ticket, you don't get in. But this woman went to such an extreme to try to get into our show that she actually brought people to basically pose as, you know, security and a photographer to make it seem like she was someone important that can just bypass the ticket sales and ticket booth and security just to get into the show. So we've had all kinds of crazy things happen like that, you know. But yeah, unfortunately, I have to really scale up security with our shows here in Toronto because you just never know what to expect. But yeah, so sometimes I'm managing things like that. And certainly I can never predict those things. So
no, that's absolutely insane. That makes me think of the first story you were telling, makes me think of, I think it was like a YouTuber that crashed the Chanel runway. Like, yeah. I can't remember. That was like 2 years ago.
That's right.
It literally sounds like, oh my gosh, almost an identical situation.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, for me personally, I've never experienced anything of that scale, but yeah. I know that there's just so many things that we do here at Silver Needle Runway that I would have never thought that would have been, okay, this is what I'm doing for a fashion show. We do a lot of DIY projects, especially when it comes to the center installations and the front of house. So a lot of really interesting logistics that I'm sure no one ever really thinks about when they think of, okay, 100%. I'm gonna put on a fashion show.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of fun surprises too. There was one time at our Montreal event, I had a sponsor. They had sent me a smart suitcase they wanted me to promote. And so I had this suitcase, I brought it with me to Montreal and we were going to use it in the photo shoots. And they gave it to me, like it was obviously they gave it to me, but I had used it and brought it with me to Montreal because I wanted it to be part of the photo shoots. And it was a smart suitcase. So it had all kinds of different like attachments and zippers and everything else. And so I was looking further into it and exploring all these different, you know, zippers. And I opened one up and there was an envelope in this hidden pocket. And it had $800 in it.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, like there's random things that happen like that. And you're kind of like, okay, what do I do now? You know? So yeah, it's just sometimes things happen. You don't know what to expect. And yeah, you're experiencing these kind of random scenarios. And yeah, it's always interesting. That's for sure.
Expect the unexpected is the takeaway from this 100%. Question. So sort of switching gears a little bit, Jody, on top of establishing Startup Fashion Week in 2019, you also founded Fash PR, which is a boutique PR agency. What sort of motivated you to start this consulting business? And can you give listeners a little bit of an insight about the variety of services that you offer?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I launched Fash PR as a result of Startup Fashion Week because I kind of realized early on with Startup Fashion Week that I have to kind of mentor a lot of the designers participating because they've never participated at a fashion week before. So they don't understand the marketing and the PR that should be involved with it. And so and they don't have the budget to hire outside sources. So I realized that it's my responsibility technically to, you know, teach them and also like provide support. So so I started doing that. And then I realized like a lot of the designers and even other people through Startup Fashion Week, our community, would come to me looking for support after the event because they realized they built up a relationship with me. They trusted me. They were super happy with the results and they needed some more guidance, you know, with growth and how to, you know, continue to grow their business. And so as a result of that, I decided that this was something that I should maybe consider doing separately so that I can open it up, not just to the Startup Fashion Week family, but also to other connections and other people looking for support. And so that's exactly what I did. So I launched it. It was a slow launch because we kind of launched it just before the pandemic, you know, hit. And also I had launched it with a business partner originally. And unfortunately, she ended up moving to the States. And during the pandemic, it just wasn't, unfortunately, really working. And so we decided to you know, she decided to move on and do something else. And so I'm continuing with Fash PR on my own. And it's been growing really well, particularly the last few months. It's been definitely growing because a lot of people are hungry for new opportunity and looking for new strategies and want to start fresh. So I'm helping a lot of small businesses in fashion, beauty, and lifestyle. And I help them with anything from building a website. I design websites to, I help some of my clients. I design their social media tiles or, I help manage their social media. Sometimes I help, sometimes I even go way outside of the realm of PR and help, for example, I was helping one of my clients last week, hiring doing interviews and selecting candidates to hire and stuff like that. So as you build a relationship with people, I think that they start to trust you with new tasks, and you know, they realize that as a small business, as a small PR agency, that's one of the benefits, that I can be flexible and you know, help them in ways that they need help. Because every business is very different. There's no real cookie cutter strategy for every single business. So, as a small PR agency, I'm able to be flexible. And, yeah, so I've been working on that. It's been keeping me busy, that's for sure. But it's also a very different, you know, kind of side of the fashion world, which I really like. And I love working with small businesses and mentoring them and helping them and seeing their brands grow, which is exciting for me. So it's another way to do that.
Well, I think it's safe to say that, Jody, you actually do it all. And it's just so amazing to see how you have continued to build the relationship with these brands and helping them with, you know, not only the event and production side, but also with the image and branding side. So sort of connecting both Startup Fashion Week and Fash PR, as a podcast host, I love seeing how both Startup Fashion Week and Fash PR have dabbled in the podcast space with their respective shows, Startup Fashion Week Podcast Front Row and the Fash PR Scoop podcast. So as someone who works so much with brands in establishing their presence both on and offline, why do you think that podcasts are such a great avenue for a communication strategy?
They really are, because it allows people to get their message across the way they want it. You know, it also creates dialogue. And sometimes when it comes to businesses, and this is what I tell designers all the time, you know, that are in my fashion week, I want designers, when they're participating in a fashion week, for example, traditionally, they're always behind the curtain. Nobody knows who they are. And I think it's really important for any business owner to be the, you know, in front of their business and really making connections and being visible, I think is super important. And so I think it's really great to have the opportunity to, you know, share stories, and people are very interested in hearing about other people's stories. So I think podcasts are very powerful with that. And it gives people the opportunity to share, you know, a specific message that they want to get out there. So I think podcasts are great. You can focus on a specific topic. You can focus on a niche, you know, and it draws in an audience that have a particular interest. So I think podcasts are great for that. And, you know, it gives people an opportunity to really like build relationships, as opposed to the old traditional media, styles of, you know, trying to get someone to rewrite your story kind of thing. So in this sort of platform, you get to actually have dialogue and you know, contribute different perspectives. So I think that's really important. And I think that's really interesting. And I think, especially in today's world, a lot of people are interested in hearing different perspectives. So I think there's a lot of benefits to podcasts for sure.
I mean, I 100% agree. And that's really the reason why, you know, the Silver Needle Runway team created this podcast, More Than Fashion Podcast, because we wanted to connect with our SNR followers, new and old, on a deeper level. And I think with the name and the purpose, it's just so reflective on how at Silver Needle Runway, we're becoming so much more than simply a fashion show. And I love to hear that so many brands and designers are also kind of using podcasts in a similar way. But speaking of SNR, as we conclude this conversation, I'd love it if you could give me and my team some advice. As we're recording this episode, we're less than 2 weeks away from the 35th annual Silver Needle Runway with our in-person show and virtual show. Yes, we launched on May 22nd. So we have a lot of exciting things for both people who can attend our in-person show and also some options to engage with our content virtually and digitally. So I'd love if you could just kind of leave us with one piece of advice to kind of prepare us with the day of show.
Oh, wow. One piece of advice. That is hard. Wow. I mean, there's really just so many aspects of a production that it's hard to just focus on one thing. But I would say one thing that I often don't get a chance to do throughout the day of a production is document it, to be perfectly honest, because I have, you know, so many people there. Like, I have my photography team and my volunteers and everything. I rely on them to kind of capture different moments, but I never get to capture my own moments. And so I think that's also really important to do, if you can take the time and remember to do that, because you know, when you see all the photos and videos from everyone else's, you know, perspective, it's not the same as yours. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to reflect on your experience. So I would say take the time, if you can, to maybe document your experience, just so you have that, and so that you have that content for later on.
Noted. I mean, absolutely. I know that I will certainly, you know, try to, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, yeah, like, let me get a picture with like one of my coworkers, exactly, one of my teammates, because it really, the day goes by in a flash because you're just so busy, but exactly, it's really, you know, you also have to enjoy it, because it's kind exactly of like all the hard work, you know, leads up to this moment, and you do need to enjoy it. But Jody, I appreciate all of your words and advice and for taking the time to be with us today. So you go, can you tell our listeners where they can connect with you and where they can find out more information about your startups?
Sure. Yeah. So they can connect with me personally on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Jody Goodfellow, J-O-D-I Goodfellow. They can also check out startupfashionweek.com, or our Instagram is startupfashionweek. And if they're interested in connecting with me through Fash PR, they can check out fashpr.com or fashpr_com on Instagram. They can send us DMs, and my emails are info@startupfashionweek.com and info@fashpr.com. Pretty simple.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to see what's next for Startup Fashion Week and Fash PR, and for you, Jody, as well.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for being here, and I'm excited to see what's next.
Yes, absolutely. And there's definitely going to be some things happening this year, so stay tuned.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to More Than Fashion, the SNR podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review, and follow @SilverNeedleRunway on all platforms for all More Than Fashion podcast updates. Talk to you all soon.